Pittsburgh, I love you. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered to you digitally, straight up, shaken and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcefalo.com. Achilla Rondo Music Conservatory, providing students young and old the opportunity to sharpen their talents in music, theater, and dance. Stop by the conservatory in Cannonsburg or at achillarondopittsburgh.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, providing laughs nearly every night of the week, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and much, much more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tonight's guest, Michael Bozzelli. Good to see you. Thank you for being here. Funny, funny man, comedian, author, columnist.
Yes, yes.
Renaissance man.
Yes, yes.
Welcome to Berg Vivant. As always, we start off with a little icebreaker. We pull a headline, a recent headline from one of Pittsburgh's many newspapers. And today's headline, Pittsburgh area gets new radio station. It is WZVM 155 AM, which will play rhythm and blues music and tunes from 1960s to the 1980s. You listen to the radio?
I do listen to the radio. I don't think I listen to rhythm and blues, though.
What's Mike Bozzelli? What do you got cranked up in your car? When I'm you're
so
cruising
bad.
Downtown.
I sound so ancient. I listen to NPR all the time. And sometimes I do listen to the top 40 stations. Things, Rihanna. I know who she is. I know who she is.
All right, that's step one.
Making love in a lonely place. I've done that.
Is that a song, or are you speaking from your autobiography here?
It's one of her songs. It's like, I found love in a lonely place or something. Yeah. Mm. I've been there.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, right?
Back in the alley.
Which alley? I don't know, but that's fantastic.
The boy never kisses and tells.
I know, I like when I listen to the. I mean, I did get with technology, and I'm very fond of my playlist on iTunes and things like that, which is probably the most diverse thing. It'll go from like Aerosmith to Eartha Kitt, and I absolutely love it. But I like Bob FM.
Oh, I listen to Bob.
I kind of like the attitude. It's just like, well, I kind of play whatever I want. I mean, I don't know. I should interview him because I want to know what goes into.
There is no Bob.
Or whoever's in charge of
it's a
programming.
National thing.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know. It's not a Pittsburgh thing.
It's not a Pittsburgh thing. It's a national thing. They make it sound like it's local. I'm kind of giving away their secret. But they make it sound like it's local.
Mike Bozzelli was last seen headed south. the Bob FM conglomerate.
They're going to come and take me out.
The men in black, and they'll be playing good music, while you're tied up in the trunk. Yeah. Fantastic.
I'll request that Eartha Kitt song. I'll request
Santa Baby.
I was thinking more of I Need a Man with a Yacht. What is the one?
Where is My Man?
Where is My Man?
Yes.
That one.
I miss Eartha Kitt, and it's one of my biggest regrets that I never saw her in person.
Not. Yeah, that would be fun.
But she died on Christmas Eve. Or no, she died on Christmas Day, which I thought was really beautiful because she was very well known for Santa Baby. And this will tell you something. When Eartha Kitt died that Christmas, from all around the world, I think four people called me and six people texted me. Not to say Merry Christmas, how's your family, but to say, oh my God, Eartha Kitt has died. How are you doing? Which I thought was spectacular.
That's awesome.
She was a classic. She was really a classy lady.
Not Merry Christmas, just how are you doing?
Right. Eartha's gone.
Gone.
you know, I was grieving and I was very appreciative that somebody checked in on me. Yeah, no regard for the fact that it's Christmas night. He might be with family or anything. I mean, people were compelled to pick up the phone and call Brian Edwards.
Santa finally took her to the North Pole.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. I listen to her all the time. But anyway, you know, if you were running a radio station or were in charge of selecting the music, I want to know what goes into that. So I need to interview maybe the folks from this new radio station. You know, how do you, what do you do, line up the songs, pick the songs? I mean, I can't imagine if I had...
I would be terrible at that because I... I'm admitting that I would be terrible at that because I like such an eclectic... Well, that's kind of why I like Balm. But I like an eclectic mix of music. I would not be good at we're going to do, plus my station would have Broadway show tunes on it.
I know, well, that's what I'm saying. Mine would appeal to a very niche market, you know.
Less than 10%.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your morning commute today, the Ethel Merman disco album.
Right.
Yeah. There's no business like show business. I mean, can you imagine that coming over your alarm clock radio at 5 a.m.
Ooh, ooh. Well, here's the deal, though. We had DVE on when we were little kids. And I swear to God, every morning I woke up to Stairway to Heaven. I think every single morning at 7 a.m. they played Stairway to Heaven when I was a kid.
Mm.
So, yeah, I can't even turn DVE on. Even though I have lovely friends that work there.
We gave them the Ethel Merman disco album, you know, maybe.
I'd go back. I would tune
I
back
have
in.
That, you know, I have that. Because that is
you
truly...
You have Leonard Nimoy singing Bilbo Baggins?
I don't. I didn't even know that it existed.
Oh, okay.
But I do have the Ethel Merman disco album because it falls in that arena that's just camp gold, you know, that it's so bad it's good. You know, and it's a combo of two things that I love, Ethel Merman and disco, two things that should never have met, but they did in this blaze of Technicolor camp glory. It's kind of like that historic moment when somebody said, you know, I really love ice cream and I really love chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh, right.
And they put them together, and as you know, the rest is...
Oh, yes, it's history.
Well, I was going to say clogged arteries, but we'll go with that. Yeah,
well, I was thinking it was more like when they put gasoline with turpentine. I don't know about...
That's hardly as important.
Okay, I don't know.
This is a cultural talk show, Mr. Bozzelli. I mean, we really want to cover the important things like Ethel Merman disco album
and
chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Maybe when Fat Boy met Little Man, or Fat Man and Little Boy met.
I haven't seen that film, but in that
bombs.
Back alley.
They're bombs. No, they're big bombs. They're bombs.
Is that a real movie?
Fat Man and Little Boy, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, about the...
Actually...
Not Schopenhauer.
They were those two bombs. They were named after the two characters in The Maltese Falcon. It was Sidney Greenstreet.
Yes.
And
Mr. Spade, it's a blackbird.
Sidney Greenstreet, one of my favorite character actors of all time. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think it was Fat Man and Little Boy, the bombs, now that you're saying this is jogging my memory, were in relation to Sidney Greenstreet
and Peter Lorre.
It was either Peter Lorre or Sidney Greenstreet's assistant, the gunsel, they called him.
Yes, the one that,
It was like, quit
riding. Poor guy, they pin everything on him.
Exactly. But I just learned that recently when I hosted
I'm sorry, I gave away the ending to Maltese Falcon. spoiler alert, 100 years later.
Right, they've had 60 years to see it, so I think they're fine.
60,
But yes, now how did we get onto this? We're talking about radio.
Radio. See, we can just,
That's the lovely thing about Bergman. As long as we keep it classy, we can go anywhere. So let's talk about your career.
Oh, that's good. I like that subject.
Right. We are an hour later, and just six martinis later.
Oh my God, strong.
Well, that's how we do it up here on Berg Vivant. You have been a very successful comedian here in the city of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Is that a joke? I don't know. But
I'd like to say, yes, you and my mom think so.
But I see you everywhere. You're downtown
everywhere.
At Arcade. You're MCing charitable events all the time. I mean, you've really
the Wall Theater over here.
But you spent a lot of time in Los Angeles doing stand-up comedy before you came here. So what is the Mike Bozzelli story? Where does it begin? Where does the sordid tale begin? I mean, aside from in that back alley we were talking about before. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's really funny. I was always a writer, and I always wanted to write. And I had written a couple of comedy screenplays, and I went out to L.A., and my friend read them, and she thought, oh, they're really funny. Why don't you tell me the story? And I pitched the story to her, and that was boring. I just told her, like, the basic, this happens, and then this happens. It was very dry. And she said, you need a pitch class. Okay? And a pitch class is something where you learn how to go and basically do public speaking and tell your story. And it was $1,000. But right next door in that ad...
Which in L.A. is a bargain.
In L.A. was a bargain. But right next to the ad for the pitch class was a $300 comedy class. And I was like, I'll learn the same skills. I'll learn how to tell my story in a funny way. And that's how I got started. I took the class. Our final was 7 minutes at the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard. I took the class and we went, and they kept asking me back at the Comedy Store. Hmm. And I kept coming back.
A star was born.
A star, yes. Okay.
Just like the Judy Garland movie. The story has been repeated to me here tenfold. It's beautiful. Do you feel that comedy is something that can be taught?
I do, because I teach a comedy screenwriting class. And I do think comedy can be taught because it's a lot like math, unfortunately. Instead of, the equation is basically setup punch. Once you get that equation and you make the setup as short as you can and you just twist the tail in a funny way, I think anybody can learn how to do it. I really do. So give me your most humorless relative and don't. Everybody has that one aunt. Nothing good's ever happened to her in 90 years.
But so you just made her funny. I mean, I'm laughing at that. I want to talk to her. I want to hear a monologue from her. So I was saying to Morty the other day, I mean, already it's comedy. So you're right. You just proved your equation.
Well, it's really funny. I had a student, and her name was Betty. And she said, I don't think I can be funny. And I said, well, what's your favorite hobby? What do you like to do? And she said, well, I like to golf. And I went, oh, okay, so what's your favorite part about golf? And she goes, well, I like to drive the cart, which I thought was hilarious. So we made a joke from drive and drive, like driving the golf cart. Like, I did a really great drive at the golf course the other day. It was from the fourth hole to the fifth hole. So, yeah, see? That's Betty's.
And now she's working as a caddy at... Oakmont Country Club. You're a star maker. That's fantastic. Well, that's good. So that's a...
People don't... I think if you can recognize funny is more... If you have the ability to recognize what's funny, you can be funny. Mm. You do run into people every now and then. They don't really recognize where the joke is. Or they don't know when to end the story, much like now, as I continue to talk. Well,
that is why you're here. Now, okay, so from L.A. to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
That's quite a walk.
It was a drive, and it was quite a long drive. I moved to L.A. I lived in L.A. 10 years. I loved it. I had a great time there. I got a lot of stuff done. because I was writing.
Shopping, cleaning, very good. We're glad to hear
Not
that.
Not so much cleaning. But anyway, it did get done. What had happened was I was working for the Disney Company. I got laid off. I had a job opportunity in Florida, and I took my stuff from L.A. and drove to Pittsburgh to drop off my crap because I was going to a furnished house down in Florida. And I dropped off my stuff, and I went down to Florida, and it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. There was one theater in town. The movie Twilight played there the entire time I lived there.
Yeah, that'd be enough to get me the hell out of Florida, too. All right.
I was in Key West. It's a lovely place to visit. I suggest y'all go down for a couple of days. Don't move there.
Or go to the movies.
Or go to the movies. They're probably still playing Twilight at that theater.
So back in Pittsburgh, you've had a very successful career as a columnist for the Washington Observer.
You are correct, sir. I work as a columnist.
I get it right every once in a while.
I work, working for the Observer Reporter. Every Saturday, I have a humor column that comes out in that paper, local section. Please buy it if you're in the area. If you're not, it's online. So you can see who I am and what I do through there.
And what's very exciting, this year, you've become a published author.
Correct. It is actually a compilation of a lot of those columns, which are no longer in print. Right there, Below Average Genius.
The book is Below Average Genius by Michael Bozzelli, collection of your humor columns. It's selling very well. It's available on Amazon.
Oh, yes. For the first couple of weeks on Amazon, that was the number one book on humor.
Wow.
And then I got beat by a fart book. True story.
He didn't know that.
True story. And here's so the next book I write is going to have much more flatulence in it.
All right. So yeah, be collecting stories on that. And let us know how that goes.
Like on the 50 funniest fart jokes became the you pulled me from top seller at Amazon to number two.
Now I don't know what that says about the Amazon shopping crowd, but here in Pittsburgh, your humor is very well appreciated. You know, I've seen you perform to very large houses. Oh, that's right. We did stand-up comedy together.
That's correct.
Back in the day. But how would you compare doing stand-up comedy in L.A. to doing stand-up comedy in Pittsburgh?
You know, that's a good question. The Pittsburgh crowds are more receptive. People are happier here. Yes. Because, well, here's the thing. When you go to a comedy club in L.A., you've got to pay to park your car somewhere, probably a valet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. The drinks are, I don't know, but like this goes for like about $15.
And here they're free.
Oh,
so,
a little bit more of this.
That was very well coordinated, that sip. That was like an Esther Williams water ballet.
Yes, water ballet. But that's water that stings. So
if it don't burn, we don't serve it.
Anyway, so where was I? I got distracted by
Have another mind. Cocktail,
yeah,
Judy.
No,
we'll figure it out. Comedy in L.A. as opposed
yes,
to
yes.
you have to pay to park.
Yeah, like
you know, you were sounding like a perfect, crabby old woman.
Yeah,
we got to pay to park. It's valet. We got to pay to get in. Oh, let's just stay home. So people
well,
stay home a lot
traffic.
In L.A.
Right? Yes.
Well, yes. Now, L.A. traffic.
Yeah, it's something.
We shouldn't complain here.
Every time, it's so funny when I am in. When somebody in Pittsburgh gets impatient because there's like four cars in front of them, I think, you know, I used to sit in an
You've
hour.
Seen the beast.
I've seen the beast. I've been on the 405 and like on a Sunday night after at 2 a.m. and there's a traffic jam and you're like, it's 2 a.m. on a Sunday night. What's going on?
Right. So we should be pleased.
We should be pleased.
And that's a great compliment to for somebody that's done comedy far and wide to say that Pittsburgh audiences are great audiences.
Well, but, yeah, and it's also cheaper to do it here.
Well, and that's
it's
a wonderful
cheaper
thing
for
too.
The audience. It
that's
really
a great thing too. These articles that are coming out, and we talk about them a lot here on Berg Vivant because it's really a great thing for the city. That Pittsburgh is a very affordable city to live, one
yes.
of the best cities to live, and the arts and entertainment are everywhere.
Everywhere.
And they're very accessible and very affordable. That's a wonderful thing.
I have friends in shows this weekend, and I can't get to all the things I want to see. I can't get to all of them. There's too many
that's
events.
That's choking you up there. I
yeah,
can see
well, no, actually,
that.
That was my throat.
No, you're getting
burned.
Emotional about it. Let's go with
okay.
that.
Oh,
because
yeah, okay.
That's how important.
Yeah, no, I got people doing stuff all weekend, and I can't see that.
That's fantastic. And what we should say on that note is that you have actually signed on to become a Berg Vivant contributor. So we'll be seeing you here on the program quite a bit in the future, reviewing performances, theatrical productions,
right.
cabarets, comedy.
Like I said, there's something going on every night. We have comedy in Pittsburgh every night of the week. Do you know that? There's a place on Monday night, the Pleasure Bar. There's Tuesday night, Smiling Moose. Wednesday, Beer Hive down in the Strip. There's something, Ham Bones on Thursday. Friday, the, I want to say Corner Cafe. There's something.
So this
every
is
night.
A great town to be a bar fly.
It's a great town to drink in.
Well, hey.
It really is.
I'll
drink there's a
that.
Night you could be at the bar every night.
And hearing comedy. And but this
hearing
is
comedy.
Great.
And, then, and we, as you know, we have so many theaters. We have lots of local theaters. I'm very excited to be a contributor to Berg Vermont.
We're thrilled to have you. Because I think
thrilled
you've
got
a,
to be
you have a very unique perspective on entertainment, and of course, very entertaining. And you used to review theater out in Los Angeles.
I did. I reviewed film and theater in Los Angeles. I've written a couple of obituaries. I actually wrote Charles Nelson Reilly's obituary for showbiz.com. So when you're looking at me like, what?
Well, I'm just trying to picture it if it was like a comedic obituary.
No.
I mean, we know you as a comedy columnist, so I'm just thinking like, Reilly kicked the bucket.
Yeah, no. My interviews and my obituaries were very respectful. I know how to
very good.
I know how to write this stuff.
So
theater and film. I've interviewed actors. It's great to be. Pittsburgh has a thriving cultural scene, and now a program dedicated. Look, I'm doing a commercial for you.
You're turning around and pitching me. I'm supposed to be pitching you here.
All right, okay.
But how you do go on and do go on. Please. But yeah, we're thrilled to have you. I think it'll be really a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to your first review here on Berg Vivant. Should be appearing soon. And of course, encourage all of our viewers and listeners to
really
take a look at Below Average Genius.
Really vanna it up there.
Yeah, because this looks like Wheel of Fortune, but actually this is Jeopardy. So
it couldn't be either.
On that note, tell us a little bit about what inspired the title, Below Average Genius.
Well, here's the thing. There's an hour of television every day where I think I'm very, very smart. And alternately, the next half hour, I think I'm very, very stupid. It is that Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy hour. I forget which one. I think it's Jeopardy first, where they ask really outrageous questions. I don't know where they come from.
Wheel of Fortune does?
No.
Or Jeopardy does?
Jeopardy does. Wheel of Fortune, I look at them and I'm like, that's really easy. It's Hangman, first of all.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're low-balled questions. I mean, it's like everybody can get them. Then I watch and I'm like, oh, I'm really smart. Then I watch Jeopardy and they're asking, you know, who is the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar? Okay.
I don't know if you're asking me.
It's Jacques de Molay.
Oh, pretty good. Did you know that or because you had seen
it? I've known it because I had to write really hard. I had to write really hard Jeopardy questions. Hmm. I went and researched some Jeopardy questions for the book. And I run a trivia night. Not a trivia night, but a game night down at the Arcade Comedy Theater every second Thursday of every month. Hmm. Which is always fun. $5 gets in, BYOB, we have prizes. We
more
have
fun than
games.
Watching Jeopardy on TV.
Yes. So yeah. I've researched some gaming things and hard questions, and I know some hard ones. Yes.
Can you give us an example?
Well, that one. Okay, how about this? In, 1792, Emile Fry invented a cheese and named it for a famous singing society of the time. Do you know the answer to that question?
The Rockettes.
No, the cheese is Liederkranz. But don't worry, I've never had Liederkranz on a cracker. So apparently there was a singing society called the Liederkranz Singing Society. I didn't know about them. I don't know any cheeses that were singing.
There's
also singing
the Von Trapp family cheese.
Right, you know. Yes, I don't know. You know, I only know a couple of cheeses. Havarti, Swiss, and Goat. As far as I know, they've never been singing groups.
No, it could be.
So,
there was a noise off stage.
Yes. The ghost of the creaking door.
That's all right. But no, it sounds like a fun read. You've actually performed pieces from this book live, which is very exciting.
I have done that.
So
well, here's the thing. I go to the comedy club every week, and I have friends that write new material every week, and they're doing new stuff, and I'm like, and I'd get up and I'd be like doing my set, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
doing my thing.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, my friends like Derek Minto and all these other guys, Aaron Kleiber, they're doing new stuff, and I'm like, wow, it's gonna be really hard to do new stuff every week. I'm like, I write jokes every week. I'm just putting them in the column.
Brilliant.
So I decided I'll adapt the squeaking door number two.
That's okay. But we can definitely look for you doing stand up around town. We can look for below average genius on Amazon.
Yes.
And where fine books are sold, or some of them anyway. And we'll look for you.
And fart books.
Right. And we'll look forward to seeing you here on Berg Vivant in the future some great theatrical and performance reviews. Mike Bozzelli, thank you for being here tonight on Berg Vivant. We'll see you again. And once again, a big thank you to our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, PA, Accelerando Music Conservatory, Cannonsburg, PA, Arcade Comedy Theater, downtown Pittsburgh. And as always, Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. This is Brian Edward from Berg Vivant saying good night.